Thanks for tuning in to episode 236 of the 200 Churches podcast.
The final thing I would add to that, because we're talking about talking to our leaders about these things, is to train our leaders for how they should handle it when someone comes to them gossiping or slandering us as the pastor. Because that does happen a lot. Someone goes to Matt, who's a deacon, or, you know, Shelley, who is a department head, and they gripe and complain about the pastor, and the leader doesn't know what they should do about it. We should give them step-by-step examples. This is what I want you to do if someone gossips about me or anybody else in the church, and we all get on the same page. We all agree, this is how we will respond to gossip, and then we hold one another accountable to respond to gossip that way.
Welcome to the 200 Churches podcast, where every Wednesday we produce a fresh episode of ministry encouragement for pastors of small churches. Now here are two guys who, like you, serve in the trenches of small church ministry, the divide and conquer of ministry podcasts, Jeff and Johnny.
This is the 200 Churches podcast. My name is Jeff Cady. I'm here in the studio with my good friend and podcast partner,
Johnny Craig.
Johnny, you're looking good today.
Thank you very much.
You're looking good.
I feel good. I feel fresh
I
as
a... I feel good. You know, you can do... There we go. You got the higher voice than me.
That's nice, though. That's good.
That's really good.
I
so,
feel good.
Okay, you feel good. So where are we going with that?
Right, yeah, exactly.
What do we do with that?
You know what would make me feel bad is if somebody was gossiping in my church.
Wow, funny you should say that. We have got the small church pastor coach, Dave Jacobs, on today to talk about how to deal with gossip in your church.
Goodness, I can hardly believe it.
Dave and I, when we started into this, I thought to myself, this seems like an old school. I used to hear a lot of messages back in the 70s and 80s about gossip in the church.
Okay.
I thought, this seems like a little bit of an old school
throwback
topic.
Yeah.
But as we talked and as we kind of unpacked the issue of gossip in the church, and as Dave was speaking out of his experiences with small church pastors who have had division and divisiveness and disunity in their church because of people's flapping gums, I realized what we were talking about was extremely current and extremely contemporary.
Well, and very practical. You know, a lot of our podcasts, last week we were talking about this summer, have been kind of, they've been thinking podcasts, which are so good and so valuable. But this is a bit of a throwback in the sense that it's super practical. We're going back to our roots.
Yeah, very practical.
Of practical kind of advice for your ministry and for your church. And Dave is always great content. I left before this conversation could happen. I had stuff going on with house drama. It was all a thing.
Yeah.
But Dave was kind enough to stick around. He mocked me relentlessly for leaving. But after that, he did a great job on this episode.
You know, it might as well have been January with an ice pack on the road, and the bus couldn't move because it was on a little bit of an incline. But we threw you under the bus, and the bus got traction and was able to take off.
Well, I'm glad I could do that. I'm glad I could do that for you guys.
Yeah, Dave and I threw you under the bus. But we did talk about gossip. We talked about how to deal with it, what it looks like, why sometimes it happens, how to deal with it, and how to confront it and help your people get through the bad practice of gossiping.
Yeah. Good advice. Good advice from a good guy. So let's just get to it. This is our episode with Dave Jacobs.
Dave Jacobs, welcome back to the 200 Churches podcast.
It's good to be back. How are you doing?
I'm doing very good. We're without Johnny today, so unfortunately, you and I are going to have to...
You guys have a falling out or something, or what?
Well, there's been rumors. There's been rumors.
I've heard some gossip.
I mean, he's not here, so I don't feel comfortable sharing. Unless,
well, that's good. That's commendable of you. You're a man of integrity.
He was right here. I mean, other than the fact that, I mean, he just doesn't show up for stuff sometimes. And,
really?
And, you know, he knew that we had this scheduled, and for whatever reason, I don't know, he's not a very good manager of his time. He doesn't have priorities. He doesn't
focus. You know, I found
focus.
Him just, he's kind of overly sensitive. I think I did something in the past when talking to him that offended him, and now he's just kind of blowing me off.
Well, and you know him, he'll talk behind your back, but he won't say it to your face.
Well, that's so true, and I'm just glad that you and I are not that kind of people.
Oh, man. Well, the truth is, you know, we're recording today without Johnny because he does have, he has serious stuff that he's dealing with, and we had this scheduled, and we were going to go, and so we shouldn't be talking ill of Johnny. If we're going to talk ill of anybody, we can just talk ill of Carrie Newhoff, you know, that Canadian podcaster who's all about that, you know, stuff like
that's
that.
Right.
So
that's right. I didn't know he was from Canada.
Yeah, he is so Canadian. He actually lives in Canada. He pastors,
wow, that's full blown Canadian.
Yeah, he pastors a church in Canada. He even speaks Canadian,
which means,
well, like if he was going to invite you to lunch, he'd say like, "Hey Dave, you want to go oot for lunch?"
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
they do that, don't they?
You know, so he even speaks Canadian. So
I know some Canadian pastors have actually moved down here to start their church. I don't know what's up with that, but sometimes you'll find Canadian pastors here in the States.
I think the money's better in the States. I think
really?
That's what it is, because we have dollars and they just have that. They have that like Monopoly toy money up there. Yeah. It's not hardly worth anything, I heard.
I just want everybody to know I work with a lot of Canadian pastors. I know we have a lot of Canadian pastor listeners, and we love you up there.
And we love Carrie Newhoff. We just having fun. Love to have fun. And, you know, we're talking today about gossip in the church. And it sounds like a topic from the 1970s. But
really? But
the truth is, we can gossip today as we can gossip with the best of them from the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, etc. We've got more ways to gossip than ever before, technologically. I mean, we can gossip online, we can gossip to the world, and we could also just do the old-fashioned way of gossip, whispering in somebody's ear. I was at a church, Dave, one time, and I was on staff, and I found out that there were a group of people in the church that were meeting together on weeknights and for quote-unquote prayer meetings, and they were sharing information and talking about the bad things that were happening at the church. And the bad,
it was a prayer meeting, so it was kind of sanctified.
Because the pastor was, and the pastors were doing bad things, and so they were getting together and meeting together and praying about it and comparing.
Of course they were.
Yeah,
of course they were.
Comparing notes. So do you
find... Well, and you think about it, isn't it funny? I don't know if this phrase is used as much, but, you know, there will be gossip columns, you know, gossip columnists. And of course, you know, Facebook, holy cow. If you want an avenue to gossip and slander people, it's just so readily available, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And I think honestly, it's to the point where we don't even think of it anymore. We don't even define it as gossip.
Sometimes I'm asked, because I talk to so many pastors, do you run into any like common problems? What do pastors of small churches or pastors in general, do they deal with the same things? Any common themes? One of the most common things that I hear from pastors is they are dealing with gossip in the church. Either someone is gossiping about them or someone is slandering them. Well, let me ask you, Jeff, would you make a distinction? And if so, what would be your distinction between gossip and slander?
I think that slander is meant more to damage somebody's reputation, whereas gossip is meant more to make the person giving the gossip seem better than the person they're talking about.
That's good.
You know, so I could say things about Johnny that wouldn't actually damage his reputation, but it just kind of makes me look a little bit better. And then I could say things about Johnny that would actually cause people to think very, very ill of him.
That's good.
In the community, that would be slander. And
I
mean, I do both with Johnny, but you know, he's my partner.
Well,
so I can
we were
do
joking
it.
Around doing it at the beginning of the podcast here. You know, I think it was a good setup for you know, really what gossip and slander can look like and how subtle it can be sometimes.
Yeah, it can be very subtle. And again, there's so much communication being thrown around today that it can happen, and we don't even recognize it anymore because the culture, just thrives on it in so many ways. So
yeah, we really love it. So what pastors will tell me, I think I have a problem with gossip. They won't put it that way, but as they describe for me the nature of the challenge they're facing in their church with people, certain leaders, certain influential people in their church, I'm sitting here thinking, well, that's gossip, or that's slander. But those words don't come out of, the pastor's mouth necessarily. They just see it as a people problem, but not gossip or slander.
Right. And there's so much in the Proverbs, there's so much in the New Testament that talks about, how we are to speak. I mean, the classic, right? The classic is Ephesians 4:29 about, not using unwholesome talk, but words that will build others up. And the New Testament is filled with it. And we do have to be careful that we're not so modern and contemporary that we don't feel like we can actually confront people who are gossiping and slandering and causing division in the church. Hey, if we can't confront them and deal with it, then it's kind of a sad day if it's going on a lot in your church.
And I think there's two problems here that I see. Number one, many churches have a problem with someone in the church that is gossiping and slandering. Number two, the pastor or the church board or the leadership are reluctant to do anything about it. And that is huge. That is so huge. I can't believe how many pastors would readily admit they have a gossip or slander problem on their hands, but they're not doing anything about it. It's been existent in the, some churches actually have a reputation or a history of being a church that can gossip and slander.
So let's talk about this. Why do pastors not do something about it? And if they're somebody that's really causing a lot of division because of gossip in the church, what's maybe the best way to begin the process of addressing that?
You said something there just about, why are we sometimes hesitant? I'm going to suggest it. I'm going to put it into one word, and then I'm going to put the ball back in your court to have you kind of define what you think this word reflects. But I think the number one reason why we don't deal with gossip and slander in the church is because of fear. Now, in all of your years of pastoring, what could be some of the things we're afraid of that cause us not to deal with gossip and slander?
I knew you were going to say fear. How did I know? Right?
Well, because you're experienced pastor.
So what could we possibly be afraid of? Well, we could be afraid of that the person gossiping is a bully, and they'll just turn their bullying efforts onto us, right? And part of that would be the fear that they're not going to receive the correction. They're not going to receive the constructive criticism or the correction, when we say, hey, this is happening and I just really need to talk to you about it, and they don't receive it. We could be afraid that they turn on us by getting in league with others in the church.
Yes.
And saying, hey, yeah, I don't know about the pastor. I mean, I think this is about time for him to find another church because it's gotten to be too much.
Yeah.
We could be afraid that they're going to leave the church. And
exactly.
If they happen to be large givers, then, we could fear the loss of income.
When you said fear the loss of income?
Yeah, we could just fear that we're going to lose income. And we need that income to either pay our staff, pay ourselves, or fund the ministries of the church. So there's a lot of stuff to legitimately be concerned with when you're going to address gossip and I like to not even use the word gossip all the time, but divisiveness, creating division in the church. That's the result, maybe more than the practice. The practice would be gossip. The result of it is divisiveness, broken relationships, hurt feelings.
And the failure to deal with it.
Yes.
Or somehow confront it. We're talking here about like common problems, common things. Our listeners are going to say, yep, that's me, or yep, I've experienced that. But we're reluctant to have hard conversations with people. So we let things slide. We hope that over time, the problem will correct itself, which it almost never does. While we're hoping that it'll correct itself, the problem just grows and grows and grows. And before you know it, you have a bigger problem on your hands than what originally happened.
Yeah, it's that VeggieTales episode of the little fib, you know?
I remember that. We had kids.
Yeah, the lie that gets so big. And, you know, the thing is 800 pounds, and he says, I'll always be your little fib. And he's destroying the city.
Right.
Yeah, that's what gossip and divisiveness will do. So let's just talk for a minute. What would be the first step, Dave? I'm going to throw this now over into your court. If I'm a pastor and I have people that I'm actually dealing with this right now in my church. I am dealing with it where I feel like I'm to the point where I think I'm going to need to address this. They're not bad people, not evil, but they've developed this habit that I don't think is helpful. In fact, I know their heart, they want to help, but I think what they're doing is actually counterproductive, and I'm not sure they even realize it. I'm also not certain how they would react to the confrontation and the critique. I don't know.
Well, you know, here's something, and I'm going to say something that a lot of people are going to disagree with me about, and they might take what I'm about to say further than I intended it to be taken. But I also regularly hear pastors describe for me someone who is slandering them, someone who is gossiping, someone who then is causing a degree of disunity in the church. And so often they'll say, now don't get me wrong. I mean, the person is a real good guy and you know, loves the Lord. And I'll say, they don't sound like a good guy. As long as we kind of minimize the evil of gossip and slander, chances are we won't take the action upon it like we should. And so, I mean, and once this is just my opinion, okay? But I'm saying someone who has a history of gossip and slander, they're not a good guy. I'm not going to make no judgment about whether or not they're saved or a Christian. I mean, you know, that's not what we're talking about. I'm just saying that they're not a good guy. They're gossiping and they're slandering, and this is bad and evil. And you said something a few minutes ago about the multitude of scriptures in both the Old Testament and New Testament that condemn gossip and slander.
Wait, let me check my shoe. I think I stepped in it.
Did you?
I did. And you've told me this before. I think when we've talked privately without recording, you've shared some of this with me before. I think I did it when I described these people. I said, good people, right? Good people.
Yeah.
And yet, sometimes, because we have people that we trust their motives, let's just say this. You can trust their motives and still know for certain that their actions are wrong.
Sure.
And unhelpful and divisive. And it may be true if the mirror were put up to their face, because of the kind of people they are, they would say, you're right, I'm sorry, I need to work on this.
Yeah.
So
that's a good point, because they might not, it might be a blind spot. You know, we talk about everybody has blind spots.
Right, right.
They might have a blind spot. Plus, if someone's gossiping or slandering, they think they're right in what they're saying.
Yeah.
Which sometimes is true, many times is not true as far as what they're thinking. But whether you're right or wrong doesn't take away from the fact that you're still gossiping and slandering. Somebody thinks, well, it's only gossip and slander if I'm not telling the truth. You could be telling the truth, but it's still gossiping and slandering. And so if we think we're right, and almost always when we gossip or slander, we think we're right, then we're not going to see it as gossip and slander. And if we think that the person who has a history, notice I said a history of gossiping and slandering, if we somehow minimize or soften what it is they're engaged in, there's a greater chance that we won't really ever adequately deal with it and correct the problem and bring healing and wholeness to them as a follower of Christ.
Yeah, that's really good, Dave. We're pastors, right? We minister to our people, and part of that is teaching. Part of that is correction, you know, instruction, sometimes discipline. And as a shepherd, we really need to receive those responsibilities and be willing to act on them and not be not be somebody that everyone has to like and enjoy and have fun with, because as John Maxwell says, you know, there's a name for those kind of people. They're called clowns, right? Everybody likes, enjoys, and loves clowns, and they're the happy, fun people. But if we're going to be leaders, and in this case, in the world of local church ministry and in the body of Christ, leaders are called shepherds. We need to shepherd our people. So, Dave, what do we do if we find out or if we realize? See, and this is another problem for me.
What?
You said earlier, if we know, if it may be true. You said what they're saying may be true. And I wanted to pull a, was it Pilate or Herod that said, what is truth? Pilate, right?
Yeah.
What is truth? Okay, what is truth? I mean, the thought that we could know the truth about somebody else, about their motives, their feelings, their actions. Boy, it's hard to know the whole truth when you're talking about a living, breathing person who has spiritual gifts, abilities, experiences in their past, who has relationships that have maybe gone awry, and all kinds of stuff that inform how they live. And we're making judgment calls on them and thinking that when we tell somebody else about them that's true.
That's so good.
You know, we don't know what true is in the life of another. Only God knows people's hearts. So,
yes, and we can't see into their hearts. We don't know their motives. We can make guesses, but that is a judgment, you know. Now, we can say, like you just said, their actions, we can say, that's not right. You should do that. But you can't say, well, because I think I'm, you know, because I think you're a poor speaker, I think I'm a better speaker. You don't know that unless you can look into my heart, you know. So that's a really good point.
Yeah. And so that causes me sometimes to shy away from confronting because I think, okay. And then, of course, as pastors, we think about our own weaknesses and our own faults. And maybe another one of those fears is that they're just going to turn around and tell me what my problems are.
Right.
I've got problems. I might have enough problems. And I'm afraid that I have to be perfect if I'm going to come to them and shine the light on the speck in their eye while I'm, you know, trying to work my flashlight around the beam coming out of my eye. So, you know, we deal with that too. But if we've, you know, if we're walking with God and we're being good shepherds, and we see that there's somebody in the church who has a pattern of gossiping about others, talking about others in ways that is not wholesome or helpful, what's the first step we should take, Dave?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I have a few of them.
Okay.
And hey, let's be honest. Usually, gossip and slander in the church is directed towards us as the pastors or our family or our spouse. Okay? I know sometimes we hear of somebody gossiping of just a regular church member, but usually it's directed towards us. And so this makes it even more awkward for us to deal with it because we're going to come across like we're defending ourselves or protecting ourselves or it deals with us. Whereas if it's somebody else that's being gossiped, maybe it can be a little easier, you know, for us to confront the person. But here's where I would start. You know, you started by saying, man, the Bible has so much to say about gossip and slander. Number one, take the time, get out your electronic concordance or something, and just do a word search for every place in the Bible that the word gossip or slander appears. Holy cow. I mean, I did it right before I called you guys, just as something to do. I had a few minutes. I plugged it in, and there are so many verses in the scriptures that condemn gossip and slander. So I would begin by helping us remember this is like a big problem, supposedly, that the Bible talks about a lot. It's not some minor thing. You know, so, you know, I would just begin by doing a word search on gossip and slander. Then I would try to kind of work up, and this could be a great question with your leadership team or something, but come up with a working definition of gossip and slander. What do we think that, you know, how would we define gossip and slander? This is going to help us really kind of nail some things down. You already defined slander in differentiating it from gossip. How would you define gossip?
I would define gossip as saying things about another person that don't need to be said.
Okay.
Talking about somebody else, pointing out negative areas, and I don't care whether it's true or not, but talking about people in unflattering ways, in unfavorable ways, where it just doesn't need to be said. And
yeah.
Often somebody who's doing it is doing it because of something inside them. There's insecurity or there's fear, and they want to bolster themselves up by putting somebody else down. So, I'll put my hands on you and push you down so I can push myself up. I mean, sometimes it's really that simple. And
yeah.
And they need to see a counselor, or they need to spend some time, you know, just getting themselves, increasing their self-awareness and figuring out why do they do what they do and why do they feel the way that they feel.
I can't remember who I heard this from, but somebody defined gossip as whenever someone says something about someone else to someone else that's not that person, and the act of saying it is not part of the solution to the problem, that's gossip.
I like that. Yeah.
Okay, once again, whenever someone says something about someone else and the act of saying it is not part of the solution to the problem, that's gossip. I think that's a possible, along with yours, I think it's another possible explanation. But it would just be good for a leadership team or just us as individuals to come up with a working definition of gossip. The third thing I wrote down here was kind of going back to the list of verses that we discovered when we tapped into our concordances, when we did the word search on gossip and slander, to just kind of review those verses and review our definition of gossip and slander, and maybe score, maybe on a scale of 1 to 10, the degree of the problem in your church or with this person. 1 being really, really low. I don't think it's much of a problem. Maybe I'm overreacting here or whatever. 10 is, holy cow, we got a real problem, a serious problem. You know, this is a good-sized fire that now is, you know, happening, and we need to, you know, put it out. So review the verses, review your definition, and then maybe score your church or the situation as to the degree of the problem. And I would suggest probably anything above 3 is probably a good enough size problem that it needs to be addressed in some way. Then from there, I would go, you know, clearly identify the guilty people. You know, a lot of times maybe a pastor will say, we got a problem with gossip in my church. Well, really, how many people are you dealing with? And almost always they'll then nail it down to 1, maybe 2 people. Mm. And that doesn't mean that those 2 people can't cause a great deal of problems. I'm just saying that, do you have a problem? Is this a culture in your church, or are we willing just dealing with 1 or 2 people? That will help us in developing a strategy of dealing with the problem. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So you're saying, you know, are there just a couple, 1 or 2, or are there an abundance of people?
Yes. And are we maybe just dealing with 1 couple? Technically, you're dealing with 2 people, but really they're a married couple. And sometimes you will find that one spouse feeds the gossip in the life of the other spouse. So you might have one spouse that originally didn't have much of a problem with the object of their gossip or slander, but because they're married and because they talk about it, now the one spouse has a problem, but they didn't originally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, we do become more and more like our spouses as we get older. We learn more and more from them. And if we're not correcting something in their life, we're letting them, you know, change us. Yeah, I see that happen. And you know, the best marriages is where you make each other better.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Well, then I'd go on to maybe the fifth thing. Okay, so let's say you have identified, you know, we have, you know, three people that we have a problem with gossip and slander in, it's good to kind of reflect on what response to me confronting them do I expect?
Mm-hmm.
Some people you just know immediately that they're going to strike back. You know immediately that they're going to get mad. And then maybe there's some other people that I bet you they'd respond pretty well. I bet you they'd be open. And if I can remain calm in talking with them about it, I've learned that they'll respond pretty well. Either way, it's good to kind of think, now how do we think this person is going to react if I have to sit down and have the hard talk with them?
Yeah, and that's, you know, obviously that's what oftentimes we're afraid of. But I think that if the answer to that is they're not going to react well, that can't stop you from doing it, because the very fact that they're not going to react well indicates that they need to be confronted. And
yeah,
they need to, I mean, I hate to use an old-fashioned word, but they need to repent. They need to change their ways, and or they need to receive some level of correction that lets them know that it just, you know, you can't tolerate that because it'll destroy a church.
Well, and that leads to the next thing. Okay, so let's say you have thought it through. Let's say that you are convinced that they're not going to respond well to you talking with them. Then here's this great question. What risks am I going to take if I do confront them? And what risks am I taking if I don't? This is a good balance. What are the risks if I confront? What are the risks if I don't? We usually don't take the time to kind of break it down that way.
Yeah. Now, I thought you were going to say, what are the risks if I confront? And am I willing to take those risks?
Yeah.
And so you caught me with that second part of that question. What are the risks if I don't confront? And I think, though, yeah, you've got to weigh that information too, because probably the second list will be longer than the first list. You know,
almost always. Right? Almost always.
It'll be worse, you know, if you don't confront.
Yeah. And then, see, you jumped ahead to my final point. And I didn't know how to, I hope this doesn't sound too crass or whatever, but here's the final point. You know, let's say you've identified the guilty person, you've anticipated their response, you've weighed the pros and cons of responding versus not responding. And let's say you come to the conclusion, I got to have that hard talk with them. I've got to. Here's the final point. Are you willing to get bloody on this? Because you probably will. You started out by saying, I mentioned that we're afraid to do this. Then you gave a bunch of great things that we're afraid of. There's a chance if you confront some people on gossip and slandering, you're going to get bloody. By that, I mean they're going to shoot at you. The gossip's going to intensify. You know, you might get in trouble. People won't like you. People might leave the church. You might lose your job. And I don't take that lightly. I don't fault a Christian for a pastor for worrying about getting fired because they made somebody angry. There are some people in smaller churches, they have so much power, so much influence, that if they get mad enough at you, they can get you fired. But that's an example of, are you willing? Because you might get bloody on this. Are you willing to do that? And that's a choice that you're going to have to make. But once again, you know, you're going to probably get bloody, or the church is going to get bloody if you don't do something. But for sure, in many circumstances, there's going to be a price to pay, a negative price to pay if you confront somebody.
So let's set the context for this, because I have two thoughts in my head. The one thought is that it seems in some ways that our Christian culture and our society has moved to a spot where this is a lot harder than it used to be. Now, I could be wrong, or either it's a lot harder than it used to be, or people are just less willing to do it because, after all, in our society, we have freedom. People have to be able to express themselves. people have to be able to be themselves, and they're free to be themselves in our society, and we're not really supposed to criticize other people for who they are or how that they want to live their life. And in a lot of areas, I like that. You know, I like being gracious and being kind to people. And we're not anybody's boss or overseer, unless we're an overseer in the church. And now we're overseeing the spiritual matters of people's lives. So we have a little tension there because the culture says, leave people alone. Don't tell people what to do. Don't judge or you'll be judged. And yet the responsibility of a church leader is to shepherd the flock of God that is under their care.
And part of that shepherding is protecting the flock so that damaging things like gossip and slander doesn't spread. Because when it spreads, boy, then the church becomes toxic. And it's very difficult for a church to move forward, reaching and retaining new people, if at its core it is sick. And one of the common diseases that many churches have, and it's more detrimental in a smaller church, because the smaller your church, the more fragile your church is. And so if you have at your core in a smaller church a few people who are engaged in gossip and slander, it will have a greater effect, a greater damage on the unity and progress in that church. So it's not just that we have a responsibility to shepherd the individual. We have a responsibility to protect the church from the disease, the cancer that gossip and slander is.
Yeah, and I think your final point would just be to confront, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the end of the line there. So I was also thinking that I think it would be good to talk with your leadership team, whatever that looks like, whether they're elders, deacon, board members, whatever the leadership team is, and get up to speed with your team on what gossip and slander is and how you as a leader and your leadership team are or are not engaged in it, and maybe look through the biblical teaching about it and talk through what those risks are. If it is in your church, if you find it someday, maybe not today, but someday if we find this, what will be the risk that we'll have to take, and what will be the risk if we don't take any action?
So
maybe be prepared. You know how they do these safety drills in schools and public places.
Yeah.
You know, maybe do this safety drill with your leadership team and say, okay, here's what our expectations are, and here's what we're going to do because we're leaders and we're responsible before God. And then after you do that, then push it out in maybe a short teaching series to your people.
Wow.
You know,
really good.
And let them know what you've talked about and what you've gone over, and just kind of put it out there. And then people can apply that to their lives and say, you know, I do kind of talk about people sometimes. And it just makes them a little more sensitive to their communication, their interactions, and how they're treating each other. And so that when you actually have it present and you have to confront it, it won't be like we've never talked about this before at our church.
Well, and the final thing I would add to that, which is like really good, because we're talking about talking to our leaders about these things, is to train, equip our leaders for how they should handle it when someone comes to them gossiping or slandering us as the pastor.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Because that does happen a lot. Someone goes to, you know, Matt, who's a deacon, or, you know, Shelley, who is a department head, and they gripe and complain about the pastor. And the leader doesn't know what they should do about it. We should give them step-by-step examples. This is what I want you to do if someone gossips about me or anybody else in the church. And we all get on the same page. We all say, we all agree, this is how we will respond to gossip. And then we hold one another accountable to respond to gossip that way.
That's excellent. That's really good. Boy, you know what? We've debriefed here on this, and we've come up with some really some really good action steps to take. And unfortunately, I'm still a pastor in a church, and Dave, you're no longer a local church pastor, so the onus is on me, and now I've got to do this stuff in my context. Oh, boy.
I think on your website, 200churches.com, of course, why did I need to say that? Because no one would be listening to us unless they were on the site. Isn't there a place where people can make leave comments on the podcast, or do you not do comments?
Yeah, there is. Now, we don't, you know, people aren't doing that very much these days.
Okay.
And we're not really asking them to. We're not directing them to do that, but they can. They can leave comments.
I just thought, you know, wouldn't it be interesting if some people, you know, what would they add to our list,
yeah,
you know, of how to handle gossip? What other definitions would they provide of gossip and slander? You know, that could be, you know, really helpful.
Yeah, but they can't talk about firearms or anything like that, or violence or anything.
I know.
You know, there was a time, oh my goodness, I can't tell much of this story because I shouldn't. Maybe it would be gossip, but, you know, talking about firearms and things like that, there was a time when a meeting at the church went so awry that a certain faction left and took their portion of the meeting to somebody's house, nice, leaving the rest of us there to ask, okay, now what is our move? Do we just end the meeting and go home and let the others do what they're doing? You know, how do we handle this? And we actually ended up following them and going to their home.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and I knocked on the door, and the person who was there, you know, who owned the house, opened the door, smiled, and welcomed me in. And I came in. The rest, everyone else stayed outside. And I was there for a little while, not real long. And I left. But yeah, see, these things happen sometimes in churches.
Yeah, they do.
If you're a young pastor, you know, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time because people are sinners. We're all sinners, and these things are going to happen. But some crazy stuff can go on. And short of violence, we do have to, we do as leaders and as pastors and as shepherds of our people, we need to protect everybody. And we need to protect the people that are gossiping and that are slandering, and help them to see, you know, hey, this is what the Lord really wants you to do, and hope that they turn from that. And
yes, yes,
follow
Sometimes
God.
Sometimes they will, and that's an amazing thing when someone sees the error of their way, and they do change. That's a huge victory in the ministry.
Yeah, it really is. It is. So, Dave, how about if you review those steps again and for us?
All right.
In terms of, we find out there's somebody gossiping or slandering, what steps do we take?
Number one, do a word search and just gather up a list of every place in the Bible where it says, where it uses the word gossip or slander. Number two, come up with a working definition of gossip and slander. Number three, after reviewing the verses you came up with and the definitions you made, score your church or your situation on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being low, 10 high, so that you can get a grasp for the degree of the problem that you're really dealing with. Next, clearly identify how many people we're really dealing with and who are they. Number five, what response to confrontation do you expect from these people? Number six, what risks are you taking if you confront, and what risks are you taking if you don't? And then the final point, are you willing to get bloody on this? Because you probably will.
And then you also talked about talking to your leaders about how to handle,
oh yeah, we, you know,
gossip,
educate
and slander.
The people, educate your leaders,
yeah,
on the whole subject.
Yeah, really good, really good. Well, hey, small church pastors are in the thick of it, and
they
have to deal with some of this stuff. And when we don't deal with it, yeah, it normally doesn't go away and doesn't really get any better. We may end up going away, or the person may end up going away, but have we really helped them if they end up leaving the church and going somewhere else and just taking their, you know, practice of gossip with them? And I'm overly optimistic on these things sometimes, but I think it's worth giving people the benefit of the doubt to say, you know what, if in good faith I showed them love and I showed them care and I invested myself in a very gracious way into their life to help them to see that what they were doing was, you know, not helpful to them or anybody else, not honoring to God, I think that this person could grow and benefit from it and that things could go in a good direction. I think it's helpful to take that approach, and then if it doesn't, hey, you tried. You did what you could
do. Well, and you remember, you know, from 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said, love hopes all things and believes all things. And so we want to start hoping that there can be a resolve to this. There can be healing there in the person's life. And we start, just like you said, we start with that foundation, which I think is an attitude and a foundation that brings pleasure to Jesus. So that's where we begin.
Great. Sounds great. Dave, you are at smallchurchpastor.com. And
yes.
you coach pastors of small churches. And I would encourage any pastor listening, if you need an ally, if you need a coach, if you need somebody who can make you better and help you to get better, but then also somebody to just be there for you as a sounding board. And somebody who can interact with your ideas and your desires and goals. Hey, Dave is a great guy, and it would be dave@smallchurchpastor.com. And then, Dave, if people want to know how you think, they might look at some of what you've written at davejacobs.net.
Yes.
Yeah, and you've got a strange Twitter handle, @thinkmonk.
@thinkmonk on Twitter. Find me. It would be fun. I post a lot of good articles and ideas and thoughts on Twitter. @thinkmonk, thinkmonk.
Very cool. Hey, Dave, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Jeff.
Very practical, Johnny.
Yes.
Extremely practical. I hope this has been helpful. And you know, it never fails. Almost every week, it seems like I get an email or a Facebook message or a text from one of our listeners saying, this was a very timely episode. Hmm. What you guys talked about, I am dealing with right now.
You'll probably get one from this.
I know I will get one from this episode.
Yeah.
And I hope that it's been helpful. I hope that as we talked, we unearthed some stuff to help you realize, okay, this is what I need to do in my church. This is action I need to take. This is something I may actually have to confront.
Right.
I can't overlook it anymore because it's not going to go away. It's not going to get any better. And ultimately, it's going to destroy.
That's the hard part of ministry, but the important part. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You gotta do the hard work to get to the good stuff. So Dave had great advice, practical advice, stuff that you can take into your church right now. You know what I mean? And get started on this work to rid the congregation of gossip and that kind of nastiness and move in a better direction.
Not once and for all, but maybe just for today.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Well,
for today.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Being a pastor is, you know, you could say it's cyclical. You know, you've got this stuff that just, you know, sin just happens to keep coming up.
Right.
Over and over and over. And hey, if it didn't, I guess people wouldn't need pastors.
Yeah. It's almost like churches are full of broken people. It's crazy.
It is. It is.
Next week, Jeff.
Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul said.
Yeah, very true.
In the gossip department, look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Make sure you're not doing it.
Yeah.
Next week, Johnny.
Next week, you previewed it last week, we have a special episode. A little what's going on with the guys episode.
Yeah.
I'm making it sound less scary than you did. You were like this. Next week, we're going to tell you a lot of things about a lot of things.
Oh, gee. A lot of things about a lot of things?
It's freaky. I'm saying like, hey, what's up with the dudes? That's what we're talking about.
I think
about.
This is the last days of the last days or something like that.
Oh, there you go.
Know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either. But
yeah, no, we've been holding back. We've been holding back on our listeners, waiting for the final chapter to be written.
See, that's the type of ominous thunder rumbling in the background.
So you think the term final chapter.
Final chapter, that's very ominous.
Well, the final chapter of this part of the story.
Okay, so like the third chapter.
Yeah, okay, the third chapter.
There you go. Okay,
of a 12-chapter book. We're not even close to
that. There you go. That I'm fine with. Yes.
And now everybody's saying, oh, that's not anything.
I don't want to tune into that. That's
not
stupid.
Interesting. I'll be back in 2 weeks. Good time with Dave Jacobs today, Johnny. Thank you for joining me, at least for the in and out on this episode.
Yes. Well, I'm glad I can be here for something and still maintain my seat as co-host. And I will see you next week, along with Jeff, on the 200 Churches podcast.
We hope you've been encouraged and inspired by this episode of the 200 Churches podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe at 200churches.com and receive the guy's free PDF download called Our 7 Favorite Ministry Resources. You can count on us to be back next Wednesday with another brand new shiny episode just for you. Until then, may God bless you as you lead and love the people in your 200 church.
This is the 200 Churches podcast.
So over the top. So over the top.
Oh, man.